My guess is that all of you are really good at praying. How many of you love your prayer life? I got about 15%. How many of you struggle to have a prayer life that you think is an adequate prayer life? Maybe a little more than 15%. I think I saw some folks say they love their prayer life and yet struggle to have an adequate prayer life. Am I correct? Ooh, interesting. One of the marks of a Methodist, one of the components of being a Christ follower is prayer. And I want you all to get that sometimes what our imagination is about what prayer is supposed to be and the way it works out in our lives, the way we practice it, the way we are able to live into it, they sometimes don't get together very well. During the month of November, I'm going to do a sermon series specifically on prayer. It's a series of series that I want to do on cultivating our inner lives. And this particular one will be on prayer. In our discussion this past Tuesday night, we all agreed in our discussion that we are all in the same place and feeling that we are not great prayers. So, if you wish you could pray better, join the club. You're not alone. I want to step back and remind us all first that the general aim of the Judeo-Christian tradition is not always the same as what churches have said over the last century. And we sometimes lose sight of what our fundamental aim is. Fundamentally, Christ following, fundamentally being in covenant with God is about being in relationship with God. Relationship. Relationship. Relationship, not rules. Sometimes we reduce the Christian life to following a certain set of ethical, moral principles. And as long as we don't go outside the bounds, we're good. But I can do nothing wrong and still not be connected to God. God, throughout Scripture, keeps calling us to God. Come, follow me. Come, connect to me. I'm a jealous God. Connect to me first. God first. It turns out that generation after generation have tried to make it as easy as possible for us to do this faith thing. So after years and years, we have slowly but surely been leaning off course. Christ following and covenant keeping is about connection. The Pharisees got it wrong, and sometimes we get it wrong today, just the same way. Christianity and Judaism is not a behavioral modification program. How many times should I say that? Should I say that every week? Christ following is not a behavioral modification program as much as we parents would like it to be. It is about being connected. It is not primarily about getting us to stop all of our bad habits and all our evil activities that those other human beings have dreamed up and imposed on us. We cannot reduce true Christ following to, if I am good, I will get to go to heaven. When we read Scripture thoughtfully and carefully and notice what it says and does not say, we realize that much of what we make the main thing is not the main thing at all. It is not primarily about getting to heaven or any other destination. It is more about the journey. It is more about relationship. It is not primarily about behavior, but about relationship with God. It is mainly about being God's. John Wesley tries to align us with the scriptures in his sermon, The Characteristics of a Methodist. And first and foremost, he starts in just the right place, which is God loves us first. This is a great starting point. And it puts us back, realigned to what it is the scriptures are all about. It is about God, not about me. It is about God and God's love before you are even born. Even before the universe is created, God is who God is, and this is God's aim. So we've been putting together these marks of a Methodist, all based on the fact that God loves us first. A Methodist loves God. A Methodist gives thanks. A Methodist rejoices in God. And today, a Methodist prays constantly. Now, I've read enough of John Wesley's journals to know that he didn't pray constantly the way my brain first thinks of the word constantly and the word prayer. But I want to focus on the word constantly because I think it informs what we should understand about prayer if we're going to understand prayer more deeply. My first brain reaction is, constantly? Really? You must be kidding. When will I eat? Is it really safe to pray and drive? I want this to be your picture. You ready? That's how I was taught. When I was 4 or 5, you put your hands together, you bow your head, and close your eyes. And that's how you pray. You were too? Yeah, don't drive that way. I guess maybe we need to consider prayer differently. So, if we are intended to be in relationship with God and each other, and also pray constantly, we have to adjust our thinking about prayer. For me, the best way for me to unpack any of the conversation in Scripture about relationship is to consider the relationships that I have. What does relationship look like to a human being? This one in particular. You have good relationships? Do you talk to them all the time? Do you have good relationships that you don't talk to on a regular basis? Oh, it's not about talking necessarily, is it? As a matter of fact, some of us talk too much. In my best relationships, we are connected even when conversations are intermittent. But there's always an awareness for both of us that we are connected. And when we're not deeply connected, there seems to be this longing for a deeper connection and to reconnect. Oh my gosh, it's so good to hear your voice again. I've missed you. A good example for me is Carla. I am always connected to Carla. I'm always connected to my parents, and they've been gone for a number of years now. Connection to God is like breathing. Every breath in, a gift from God, full of grace and full of love, full of life. And every breath out is our loving response. Thank you, God, for your grace. I don't think that we should get caught up in the, are there special words I'm supposed to say, or I don't know what to say, or it's not about the words. I don't have magic words that I say with Carla, although we have some patterns of phrases that reveal our intimacy with each other. And other folks make fun of us on occasion, but too bad. It goes back to things that for us were deep connecting moments. And we can have those kind of patterns and codes in our deeper relationship with God. I think it's important for us to remember that silence and listening are necessary parts of prayer. Can you imagine being in relationship with someone who never shuts up? I didn't say to lean over to the person next to you and tell them who I'm talking about. But it's hard if we're out of balance. And some folks look at prayer to God as if they have to just keep talking. Shut up! Listen for a bit. My dad at one point said, "You never learn anything new when you're talking." And yet I keep talking. I think if we lean into the fact that it's got to be about the words, then saying words by rote or letting it be just a ritual without having a deep connection gets us off track to our fundamental purpose, which is a deeper connection to God. How do we pray so that it encourages a deeper relationship with God? And some folks that are still in the process of learning how to be a Christ follower will say, "How do you listen to an invisible being?" And I'll say, "You tune in. Like that old radio control knob. You keep just trying to figure out where the right frequency is so that you connect to God. I promise you that my connection will not work for you. Carla's connection doesn't work for me, and mine doesn't work for her. The same is the case for your relationship with God. You've got to do a little work to find the place that you can have a deep connection." When we say we pray constantly, we're saying that we need to have some kind of lifestyle of prayer, a way of life, so that prayer is like our breathing. If we can do that, it makes our connection to God very constant. Talking with God, connecting to God, feeling the connection as a constant companion, always in relationship with God. Prayer is the most intimate way to do that. And Scripture says you don't have to use words, because sometimes when you can't figure out the words to say, God connects to your groaning and moaning heart. If you don't feel like you know how to pray well, pray to God that you'll learn to pray. Or find some ancient prayers that resonate for you, or keep a prayer journal and work on it. We'll talk about more of this in November. But don't be afraid of quietness. Don't be afraid to listen. Practice, experiment, get better. Remember, it's about alignment and intimacy and humbleness. How is your prayer life? Is it a chore? Or is it like breathing? Is it life-giving? Is it recentering? Does it re-aim you? Lastly, I want us to notice that the Scripture said, pray for everyone. Everyone. Some of you know people you don't want to pray for. Even if you're sitting next to them, I want you to pray for everyone. Everyone! That means folks in foreign countries who seem to be full of bluster. We Western folks tend to believe we can do it on our own and we don't need God, but there are times that we are on our knees and the best we can do is pray, and Lord have mercy, we go to help me real quick. Christ following is not a behavioral modification program. It is more like a love affair. Christ following is more like a love affair. Christ following is more like a love affair. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, make every moment for us to be a God moment. Help us to see you in the most intimate terms possible and grow closer and closer to you. To not feel bad or feel any sense of shame that we're not as connected as we'd like to be. Let us lean into that desire and that longing to be more connected to you. Help us. Help us pray. Help us love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.